This chazar is echinish b'chach kesser shalang v'im b'hudim sechaz chedushin das tamach vav. Abaye said, if a single witness tells a person you ate chalev and the person remains silent, the single witness is believed. We can learn this from a Mishnah which says that if a single person tells a person you ate chalev and the person says I did not, the person is potter from bringing a chatas. This suggests that if the person remains silent, the single witness would be believed. Abaye also said, if a single person tells someone your tarah food became tame and the person remains silent, the single witness is believed. We can learn this from a Mishnah which says that if an edecho tells a person your tarah food became tame and the person responds that they did not become tame, the food is considered to be tarah. This suggests that if the person just remained quiet, the edecho would be believed. I also said, if an eid echo tells a person was mezana with Irax, which would make it also to be brozer carbon, and the person remains silent, the single witness would be believed. We can learn it from a mission, which says that an animal with which a person was mezana, which was told as having been done so, either by an eid echo or by the owners, the testimony is believed. Now, this testimony of the single witness can't be talking about where the owner admits to it, because that case is dealt with explicitly in the Mishnah. Rather, it must be that the owner was silent, and we see that the case of the eid echo is, in that case, the eid echo is believed. Mor says all three cases over here are necessary. Because if a Abaye would only give us a case of chaylev, we would say that if the person himself wasn't sure that he ate chaylev, he wouldn't bring a chatas that is not needed, and he wouldn't bring chulun liazorah. However, in the case where the eid echod said that the food is tameh, maybe the person doesn't contradict him only because he figures this is a big deal. The food can be eaten when I'm tameh anyway. If you would only give the case of a tameh food, we would say that only in that case his silence is an admission, because he would not stand by silently as a person is making him lose the ability to eat certain foods when he's tar. However, in the case of the animal used for his nose, he may think, listen, most animals are not brought to kibbutz anyway, so this doesn't really affect me. What do I have to argue for? That's why all these cases are necessary. If an eid echo tells a person that his wife is mezana and the person remains silent, may he continue living with his wife? Abaye says the eid echo is believed and the person becomes oser to his wife. Rava says the eid echo is not believed because all matters of ever require shtei eidim. Abaye said he can bring a proof from a story that took place. There was a blind man that would teach braises in front of Shmuel. One day this person didn't come, so Shmuel sent a shliach to see where he was. While he was heading towards the blind man's house, the blind man showed up by Shmuel. When the shliach returned, he said to the blind man, you know, your wife was mezana. When asked what to do, Shmuel told him, if you believe the shliach, you must divorce her, and if you do not, you need not divorce her. Presumably he was telling him, if you trust that the shliach is a valid witness, you have to divorce her. We see that a single witness is believed in this case. Rava said, no, Shmuel was telling the man, if you believe the shliach like two witnesses, then you must divorce her. Abaye brings another proof from a story told us in a braisa that took place with Yanai HaMelech. After a particularly satisfying victory, he called all the Chachamim to a feast. A Rasha tried to incite him to kill the Chachamim. He did so by telling Yanai to put on the tzitz and see if the Chachamim would allow him to act as a Kohen Gadol. He did so and the Chachamim protested. The reason they protested was that people had said that Yanai's mother was captured by Goyim before he was born, which if true would make Yanai possible to serve as a Kohen Gadol. Yanai then banished them from his feast, and after being convinced by the Rasha, he had them killed. Before they were killed, the Chachamim looked into the matter of the mother's capture and ultimately decided that there were no grounds to believe that she was captured. Now, what does the braisa mean that initially there was reason to believe that she was captured, but ultimately there were no grounds? If the case is that initially there were two witnesses that said she was, and later there were two witnesses that said she wasn't, why would we rely more on the second set than on the first set? Rather, we must say that initially there was a single witness that said she was captured, and later two witnesses said that she wasn't. And we can see that the single witness is believed only because there are two witnesses that contradict him. But if not for that, a single witness would be believed. Rava said this is not a valid proof, because it may be that there were two witnesses to each side of the argument, but the second set of witnesses made the first set into Edom Zoymim, in which case we believe the second set and do not believe the first set. We can also say, like Rabbi Yitzchak said, that although she was captured, it was determined that she was quickly that she had quickly escaped and before anyone could have been mezana with her. Rava brings a proof from a long braisa quoted by the Gemara. The braisa brings machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva regarding a mikveh that was measured and found to be less than the minimum required amount for a mikveh. Rabbi Tarfon said that anybody who used a mikveh up until this point is tar, because the mikveh has a chazaka of being valid up until this time that it was measured. Rabbi Akiva said anyone who used the mikveh from the last time that it was measured as being valid is now tomei, because they have a chazaka of being tomei. They each give the logic behind their view. Rabbi Tarfon compared the case of the mikveh to the case of the kohen who did the avoid, and it then became known that he was the son of a divorcee or a chalutza, in which case any avoid that he had done in the past is valid, but any avodah he does in the future is possible. Ultimately, Rabbi Tarfon agreed with Rabbi Akiva, who said that the case of the mikveh is more like the case of a kohen who did the avodah and then became known that this kohen was a bal mum, in which case the avodah that he did even in the past is possible, like the Gemara will later teach why that's so. So the reason he agreed with Rabbi Akiva is because Rabbi Akiva said the case of a mikveh is more similar to the case of bal mum, because a mikveh can be made possible on the basis of an eid echod, and a bal mum can be made possible on the basis of an eid echod, whereas an eid echod cannot establish someone as being the son of a divorcee or a chalutza. Now, what's the case of the bal mum being established by an eid echad? If the kohen contradicted him, the single witness would not be believed. Rather, the case must be where the kohen remains silent. That would mean that Rabbi Akiva said that in this case of an eid echad and the person remaining silent by a matter of error, the single witness would not be believed. Abaye says this is not a valid proof. It may be talking about a case where the kohen with the mum does not contradict the eid echad, and the reason the eid echad is believed is because he can say to the kohen, listen, if you have a mum, remove your clothing and show us that you have no mum. If you have no mum, then remove your clothing and show us you have no mum. How do we know, in fact, that the avoid that was done by a kohen who became known as the son of a divorcee, a chalutz, is valid? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel learned from the pasuk of v'hoisa lo yulazari acharav, whether valid or possible, children, they have the status of a kahanim. Shmuel's father learns it from the pasuk of barich Hashem chelo ufoil yodav tirtza, even the chulin of the kahanim have the avoid accepted. Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the pasuk that says, you shall come to the kohen who will be bayomem mohem. Clearly, you can't go to a kohen of past generations to bring you a bikurim. The pasuk is teaching that the avoid of a kohen who was presumed to be valid and later found to be puzzle is valid. How do we know the avoid of a balmum is puzzle? Rabbi Yehuda Nimish will learn from the pasuk of Lachain Emor Hinini Noise and Loyas Brisi Sholem. When he's complete Sholem, he's a valid Kohen. If not, he's a balmum. The word is Sholem, not Sholem. Rav Nachman said in the Torah, the Vava, the word Sholem is cut off, allowing us to read it as if it says Sholem. Zok the Mishnah, in any case where Kedushin can take effect and there's no avera of these people getting married to each other, the child is given the legal status of the father. For example, the child takes on the status of a Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, depending on the status of the father, irrespective of the status of the mother. In a case where Kedushin can take effect, but there's an avera from them getting married to each other, the child gets the status of the blemished parent. For example, if a widow marries a Kohen Gadol or a divorced or a chalutza marries a regular Kohen or a mamzer, or a nesina marries a Yisrael or a Yisraelis marries a mamzer or a nosin, in these cases, the child becomes a chol like the mother or a mamzer or a nosin like whichever parent has a status. Third case, in a case where Kedushin is not effective with this man, but where she could have Kedushin with another man, the child is a mamzer. For example, in a case where the couple are arayis one to the other. Finally, in a case where Kedushin cannot be effective with this woman at all, from any man, the child gets her status. The example over here would be the child of a maidservant or of a guy.